If you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be continuing our journey through the book of Philippians. So in Jesus' ministry, one of his biggest opponents in his ministry was the Pharisees. And one of the ways that he described them was as whitewashed tombs. And Jesus in his ministry, he has had his heart of compassion and kindness where he was just so loving to everyone. But it seemed like the Pharisees were the people that he was the harshest on. And one of the reasons for that was because they just had this heart of pride where they thought, I'm good. I don't really need anybody to help me. I can follow all the rules and I can reach God on my own. But the thing is that the Pharisees, they were good at looking holy on the outside, but on the inside they were still full of dead bones. So let's go ahead and open up God's word to Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So if you can please stand for the reading of God's word. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, we just bring before you just this part of your word, God, this part of your scripture, and we just ask that you will just open up our hearts to the truth that it has for us, God. We pray that we can just approach your word with humility and submission and just ready to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in this passage, Paul, he is making a case to the Philippian church to do away with any false gospel. He's telling them, if you are getting your worth or your righteousness by any other means than faith in Christ, then you're believing in a false gospel. So this is the message we have today. is that there's no other way to be saved than through Christ. So if you look in verse 1, we see that Paul says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." So he's reminding them, coming back to this theme of rejoicing in the Lord, and he's telling them, it's no trouble for me to write to you the same thing I've already written to you before. So this may be a message that you've heard before, because we've all heard the gospel before. But this is one of those things that it's a safeguard to us, because as believers walking in this world, we still hear the messages of the world coming at us time and time again. And we need to be reminded of the gospel every day, because our tendency, especially as people who have grown up in the church, is to stop relying on God's grace and then start relying on our works again. This is a tendency I've seen in myself, and it's something that we have to fight against. We have to be on alert against, is trusting in another gospel other than faith in Christ. So Paul goes on in the next couple verses, and he gives us three marks of those who know Christ, three indicators of somebody who is a believer. So the first indication of somebody who is a believer we see in the first part of verse 3, where it says, "For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit." So the first mark of a believer is that we serve God by his Spirit. So it's impossible for us as believers to serve God, to worship him, without worshiping him through his Holy Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well, I'm pretty sure that's the story it was in, that true worshipers of the Father worship him in spirit and truth. And we see in Romans 12, verse 1, Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." So we're only able to worship God through his Spirit. And just a little bit of historical context here for in this passage, what wrong thinking or what Paul was addressing with writing this. We see in verse 2, he says, "Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh." So he's saying, watch out for those who are the mutilators of the flesh. He's talking about circumcision right here. And we see this in different places in the New Testament, where there were people in the church who were saying, okay, we're Jewish, and we have followed the Jewish law since we were kids, and we're good. But then they see Gentiles over here who are coming to faith in Christ, and like, good job, you put your faith in Christ. Now you Gentiles, you need to become Jewish like us. You need to be circumcised. You need to follow all of the Jewish ceremonial laws. You can't eat pork. You can't do all these other things, along with faith in Christ. And that's how you're saved. But what Paul is saying is that we can, real circumcision, we who are the circumcision are those who serve God by his Spirit. He's saying it's not by following the law that you're saved. You could say we boast then. But how often are we talking about the Lord? Especially with other believers, like, this is the main thing that ties us together as a family in Christ, is the Lord. So in our conversations, we should be boasting in what Christ Jesus has done. And that is a mark of a believer, is that they are so humbled before the Lord that just in our conversation, that it just naturally comes out how God has just been so miraculously working in our lives. So that's the encouragement, is let us as believers, let us as a church be those who boast in Christ Jesus. Let that show in our attitudes and in our conversations. So the third mark of a believer is that we put no confidence in the flesh. He's reading through verse 3 again. We're getting to the end of the verse this time. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. So a believer, a mark of a believer is that we put no confidence in the flesh. Now, you may ask yourself, what does it mean to put no confidence in the flesh? What are the works of the flesh? You can get out your pencil and write down a list right here, okay? Because Paul, he goes through his works of the flesh. The things that his spirit may want to boast in. He says, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. So he goes through his whole list of like qualifications, the things that he does that makes him a good Jew that follows the law well. But Paul says we cannot put any confidence in any of these things. So the first thing that Paul says he could put his confidence in is circumcision. So the first thing is don't put your confidence in a ritual. Now, in the church today, circumcision isn't really seen as something that's like a mark of righteousness or something that is like a badge of honor for that you're following God well. But there are still other rituals in our life as Christians that we have a tendency to place up here as, if I'm doing these things, that means that I am following God better than this person over here. So what are some of those things today? One of those things could be just your morning devotion time, which is a good thing. It's good to read your Bible. But if you're putting your confidence for your salvation in reading your Bible every morning, then that's a false gospel. If you're, say, I'm going to fast like this many days a week for this long a time, that's a good thing, right? God tells us to fast. But if that's where your confidence is at, if that's where you're boasting in, then that's a false gospel. That's where you're looking for your salvation. Or even going to church. If you say, I'm going to go to church, then that's a good thing to go to church. We're told to go to church. But that's still a work of the flesh. Going to church doesn't save you. Reading your Bible doesn't save you. Fasting doesn't save you. And Paul is saying, don't put your confidence in these things. Just as he was saying, don't put your confidence in circumcision. He says, of the people of Israel. So he's saying, don't put your confidence in your ethnicity. And that was something that we saw in the early church, was some of the Jews thought that they were like a step above the Gentiles, because we're God's chosen people. We were born as descendants of Abraham. Now, not many of y'all here are Jews, I'm guessing, ethnically. But a lot of us were born into like Christian families. We're born into a Christian culture. And we were raised with the law. We were raised in Sunday school being told the Ten Commandments. We were raised being told like this, being taught how to read our Bibles. We were raised praying with our family. And this is a good thing. But if that is where you're looking for your salvation, then you're living in a false gospel. And I will go even one step further, is if you are judging somebody else's salvation based on how well they are doing those things, then you're still believing in a false gospel. And the same thing with the confidence in rituals. So put no confidence in a ritual. Put no confidence in your ethnicity. The third, put no confidence in your rank. He said, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now, the tribe of Benjamin was seen among the Jewish tribes as one of the faithful ones, because during the time of the kings, the nation of Israel split into two halves, a northern part of Israel, which kind of went away into idol worship and went away from the worship of Yahweh. And there's a southern two tribes of Israel, Judah and Benjamin. They were the faithful ones. They were the ones that didn't go the way of the world. Now, but we're not from the tribe of Benjamin, Judah, any of those tribes. But you could look at it this way, is that we are from a church who has been faithful. Because if we look, we see that there's a lot of churches around us that are going the way of the world, who are accepting unbiblical doctrines, who are just caving into the way that our culture is living. But that's one thing I really appreciate about our church here at Mountain View, is that we do have a strong foundation on Scripture, on God's Word. But that is not where the gospel is at. We're not saved because we go to a church that believes in the Bible. And if we are put our pride in that, if that's where we put our pride at, then we're putting our pride in something else that is a work that we have done. And this also can go with a place that you serve in the church as well. You could say, oh, well, I'm a pastor, so that means that, like, I'm a good Christian. Or you could say, I'm a Sunday school teacher, so that means that I'm a good Christian. Or you could say, I lead worship, so that means, like, I'm a good Christian. But that is not why we're saved. That's a work of the flesh. That's something that we do. Now, look at the fourth thing. Don't put confidence in your tradition. Paul says that he is a Hebrew thing. Does not equal putting your faith in Christ. Because you can believe the right things, but you still are a whitewashed tomb. You can put on the show like, I believe everything that is exactly in line with the Bible. But if your faith, if that's where your confidence is at, your confidence is not in Christ. Now, looking at the fifth thing, is don't put confidence in your rule keeping. He said, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. Now the Pharisees, they were the group of the Jews who, they had like all the Old Testament, but also they had their extra writings that they put with it. It said, this is the Old Testament, but also we're going to make this other book in how you are like keep the Old Testament. So they had like God's law, and they put a lot more laws on top of it as like, this is how you are to do that. And just like, for example, the Ten Commandment of remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They put a lot of stipulations. They said, you can't carry more than this amount of weight. You can't take more than this amount of steps unless you're going to be working on the Sabbath. So they were so worried about keeping the letter of the law that they went and that they ended up breaking the law by having pride in their hearts. So we are not to be so worried about legalism and following the law by the dot that we put our confidence in that work of the flesh and following the law. And just to put this in our context, you can say, I am not going to go and serve in the military because the Bible says that that is not good. But if you're still unforgiving to your brother or sister, then you may have kept the letter of the law, but you still have sin in your heart. Or you could say, I am not going to go and I'm going to be a virgin when I get married. You say that. But if you look at pornography, you still have lust in your heart. And this is what Jesus is getting at in the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, good, you don't murder, but if you hate your brother, you commit murder in your heart. you don't commit adultery, but if you lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. We don't just sin against God by the things we do on the outside, but our heart position, our heart posture towards him. It's not just having a little statue of Baal on your mantle that's idolatry. Idolatry begins in the heart. He says, don't put confidence in your rule keeping. And I think this is one of the things that as Christians, at least for myself, this is something God's like really been putting me into check with, is just realizing that even if I do the good things on the outside, like I follow God's rules on the outside, my heart is still like full of pride and like covetousness towards the things that lead to the outer expressions of that. And just like seeing my need there for God. So don't put confidence in our rule keeping. And the sixth one, don't put confidence in your zeal. He says, as for zeal, persecuting the church. That's one of these things that we can be prideful of, is being the most excited to go to church. You say, like you're always talking about with your friends. You say, you're just like the most excited for God. You are the one that gets the most into worshiping. You're the one that talks about him all the time. You're the one who's always like sharing the gospel with your friends at school. Those are good things, but they're still works of the flesh. And if you look at Paul, he had a lot of zeal for the Lord, but in that zeal, he was like completely going in the opposite direction. He was killing God's people. And this is one of the things we have to keep in check as well, is that sincerity or genuineness does not mean that you're going in the right direction. Because you can be genuine, but you can be genuinely wrong. And we see that there are so many people around us that are very passionate about different things. I mean, look at today. We have like the biggest worship service of the year, basically, the Super Bowl. A lot of people are really passionate about that. But they're passionate about something that is ultimately has no eternal value. So the last thing that Paul says is, don't put your confidence in obedience to the law. He says, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. If we look down on someone else if we look down on somebody else because of any of these things on this list, then we're putting confidence in our works. When he says, don't put any confidence in your obedience to the law, this is one of the things that God's just been showing me recently, is how, even as a believer, I cannot follow the law. I cannot live a righteous life apart from God's work in me, apart from his spirit leading me. And that was just one of the amazing things God did for me this week, was I was just in Romans chapter 7, which has been like a chapter that's like really confusing to me a lot. And in this chapter, you see how Paul, he's just talking about his struggle with sin and how he just has this like sin inside him that's pulling him away from God. But he wants to do what is good, but he's powerless to do the good that he wants to do. And he's just at this place of like desperation. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And this is his answer. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So he says, so what he's saying is that the law is powerless to keep us from sinning. And this is like the light bulb God made go off for me this week, was knowing the rules, knowing the Ten Commandments, knowing the law, that doesn't give you power to live a holy or righteous life. What Paul says is that the law is like a lamp that illuminates, it reveals the sin that is inside of us. It does nothing to take it away, it just shows us what it is. So we have the Ten Commandments, and we know, okay, I'm guilty. I've committed adultery. I've lusted. I've hated my brother. I've lied. I've coveted. It shows us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. But knowing that you've broken the Ten Commandments doesn't help you to follow them. And when we look in Romans chapter 8, we see that we live, we are able to please God by walking in His Spirit, by being alive in His Spirit. And this is what Paul is saying. Let's look at verses 7 through 11. He's saying we can't put confidence in any of these works of the flesh. What can we put our confidence in then? He says, and we're looking at Romans chapter 8. He's saying, put to death the works of the flesh and live in the Spirit. He's not saying, God isn't saying, you need to like follow all these laws and then your heart's going to be good and you'll be right with me. What God says is that your heart is corrupted and sinful and you need to put it to death. You need to put your pride to death. You need to put your plans to death. You need to put everything that has been needs to die and let Christ live through me. Live by the Spirit. So he's not saying you need to do all these things and then you're going to be made right with God. He's saying Ben needs to die and God's going to live through you, and that is how you are going to be made right with God. And so in verses, so what he's saying is like all these things that you try to do, all these works of the flesh, they're nothing but garbage. They're not of any use. So the thing that really matters is faith in Christ. We see in verse 9, he says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So this is the gospel, that our righteousness does not come from ourselves. It only comes from God, because we are not able to reach that righteousness on our own. We are not able to have our sins forgiven on our own by following the law or by any of these works of the flesh that we've talked about. It's only through faith in Christ. And this is what we see in the gospel, is that when God created the world, he created everything good. But then sin came and entered the world through Adam and Eve disobeying God. And when sin entered the world, we saw that all the brokenness and just pain and death entered with the sin. And through the whole Old Testament, we see this story time and time again, where sins cannot be forgiven by good works. That no matter how hard they tried to follow God, if they're doing it by their own strength, they ultimately failed. But then we see, when we get to the New Testament, God said, okay, you know that you can't have your relationship restored with me through your works. So I'm going to come and I'm going to live that perfect life that you were not able to live. And I'm going to die the death that you deserved on the cross so that you can be forgiven and my righteousness can be made your righteousness. And we're told that if we, we're told in Romans chapter 10, that if we declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So we are saved not by any of these works of the flesh, but only by Christ death and resurrection, and by faith in him. So that means that we cannot boast in any of our works of the flesh. We cannot look down on any other believers because of their works of the flesh. The only righteousness that we have is from God. It's righteousness that he has given to us. And it has nothing to do with how well we have followed the rules, how well, what house we were born into, what tradition we are part of. So our justification comes only through Christ. And then in verse 10, we see the process of sanctification, where we know Christ more and become like him. Paul says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. So, Paul is still recognizing that we are works in progress. Just because we are given Jesus' righteousness as our own, we still have to put our own flesh to death every day and be living in his spirit every day. And he says, knowing Christ is the first priority. If we know Christ, then everything else is naturally going to fall in place if we are submitted to him as our Lord. And this is the process of sanctification, which is us being conformed to the image of Christ, us looking more like him. And this process, a lot of times, involves suffering. And this is a concept we see in Scripture, is that suffering is not something that is necessary to be run away from as believers, but something that draws us closer to the Lord and something that produces holiness and character in us. He says, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Because we know that Jesus Christ, he suffered when he came. And he said if he was going to suffer, then we as his followers can expect to suffer as well. But even in our suffering as believers, we are suffering with Christ. And we know that it is bringing fruit. Now the final part is glorification. And so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So we're saved through faith in Christ. We're sanctified through his power in us. And we have this hope that when Christ returns, we will be glorified with him. That his work in us will be complete. That we will be presented faultless before him. And this is the promise of God. And I just want to encourage you today that if you have been putting your confidence in something in the works of the flesh, then you don't have to keep doing that. Because putting your confidence in the works of the flesh, it puts all the pressure on you to perform well enough to be able to reach God. And that's something that we can't do. And I know what it's like to be going through life trying to do that. And it's something that is just miserable. It's something that ties you down, it chains you down. And it makes it so that all of God's instruction to us is not something that freezes, but something that becomes chains that are burdens to us. But when we are living as those who are redeemed, who are made right in Christ's sight, who are his sons and daughters, who he loves, and are living with your reliance on your works of the flesh. Bring to me your addictions. Bring to me your brokenness. Bring to me your depression, your anxiety, all of this. And receive my grace. Receive my forgiveness. Receive my healing. And he helps us out of that from a place of being his sons and daughters, from a place of freedom. We're not getting out of it to be his sons and daughters. And if you're here today and you have not put your faith in Christ, if you have been relying on these works of the flesh, or if you have just not really cared about relationship with God to begin with, if that has been something that you just said, I don't really need God. But the fact of the matter is that we all need God. Somebody who grew up in church just as much as somebody who's never stepped foot in the church building. And it's only through Christ that we can be saved. So if you have not made that decision today, I want to encourage you to come and find me after the service, okay? If I'm talking to somebody, having this conversation with you is a lot more important than shaking people's hands. So you can pull me aside, and I would love to talk with you more about that. And yeah, so let's pray. Father, we thank you just for your grace that you've given us. We thank you that we don't have to follow your rules and your laws in order to be made right before you. And we thank you for the grace that you've given us, God. And we pray that we will not rely on the works of the flesh to be made right before you, God. And we pray that you will help us to grow in these things that are good, these things that are pleasing to you, these things that are honoring to you, God. But we pray that you help us to go about that by your Spirit, by your power, and not by our own. God, we repent of just our pride before you, our pride of looking down on others for how their lives are different than ours, God. We pray that you will just reveal to us just the places in our congregation, in our hearts, in our own personal lives where we still are not lining up with your truth, God. We pray that you will just give us your grace in those places, God, that you will just remind us of just your gospel, and that you will help us to just walk in your Spirit. Father, we just thank you for the grace that you've given us, and we would just pray that you will just help our boast, our confidence to be in you, not in ourselves, God. And we just thank you just for your goodness and your faithfulness. And we pray that you will just continue your work in us until the day of its completion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.